These Are the Times, A Life of Thomas Paine, by Trevor Griffiths. Part 1, Common Sense.
If summer were spring and the other way round, then all the world would be upside down. Of course, back then, there was no America, just a baker's dozen of seaboard colonies, fretting at Mother England's apron strings and striking for first turn at the tit. 13 colonies, 13 clocks. By what miracle did they come to strike all at the same time? Taxes, was it? On calico, on newspapers, on tea? Georgia made its own calico. Delaware barely had newspapers and didn't give a damn for 'em. Virginia drank coffee. When the world changes, its people do the changing, masses of 'em. And when a people becomes a nation, as we did, and throws not just tea, but a king, parliament, and a whole history of dependence overboard, you can be sure it's not just a famous handful involved in the doing. Your Washingtons, your Jeffersons, your Adamses, your... Franklins, if you'll pardon the presumption. Nameless, unnumberable, unlettered, unrecorded, and unremarked. When the mongrel folk decided government was too important to leave to their betters, they upped and calmly reinvented the future, not just their own, but the world's. As a matter of fact, it was no miracle brought the 13 clocks to strike altogether back there. It was common sense. At least, that's what he called himself. Tom Paine he was when I met him. No E. Tom Nobody from nowhere, or in his case, Norfolk. I was unofficial ambassador for Philadelphia and London. He was a staymaker, come to ask me about the new world. Just another of the nameless, unnumberables, with their manifold lingos looking for the future. Alarmed in the passage out, 1774, it would have been a good day's work. See for yourself.
O'Connell!
O'Connell here, yes, sir.
Thomas Paine.
Aye.
Let us pray for the good Lord's protection and a safe passage upon his uncertain seas. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Ice wasn't the only enemy facing those who would cross the Great Pond. 1 in 10 would fall to yellow fever. Scurvy would claim yet more. The poor in steerage would bear the brunt. But as Paine was to discover, even the cabin people were far from exempt. And at least one of them was destined to be carried off in a wrap of Hessian and left for dead on the dock.
What are you? Angel of death, is it? God. Where am I?
Miss Downey's place. Just out in six.
The bearer, Mr. Thomas Paine, is well recommended to me as an ingenious, worthy young man with some skill at writing. He goes to Pennsylvania with a view of settling there. If you can put him in the way of obtaining employment, perhaps in teaching or instruction, you will do well and much oblige your affectionate father-in-law. And that's from Benjamin Franklin Lewis, Mrs. Downey.
The hand of a great man, so it is, Doctor. It's why I agreed to take him in, despite the typhus fever.
We'll see it's delivered this evening to Mr. Batch's house.
You think he'll live, Doctor?
The body's strong enough. Sometimes it's the mind that's weakened.
Boy. Boy, come here. Come here. Give me your hand.
Oh, huh? Oh, careful.
Take me to the window here.
Yes, sir?
Mr. Batch, if you please. Thomas Paine.
Follow me, sir.
Damn Massachusetts, damn Sam Adams, and damn his Boston rebels.
If you've come to mend the privy, it's at the back. Someone should have shown you.
I'm waiting for Mr. Batch, ma'am.
Indeed. My husband is in meeting. Has he been informed?
I believe so, ma'am.
Well, wait by the study there. I'll inquire when he might be free. Someone come to see you in the hall.
Excuse me, gentlemen. So, what can I do for you, Mr...
Payne.
Payne?
Yeah, I believe you have a letter from Mr. Franklin concerning
me. Yes. You arrived some weeks back, I believe. Dr. Kearsley may have mentioned you were sick. Are you recovered?
Quite recovered, thank you.
So, if you would care to wait, I'll ask Mrs. Batch to make a note of your particulars. Though, I'm bound to say, parche my beloved father-in-law, clerical employment does not grow on trees in these parts, especially when you're dressed in the garb of a labourer.
You may wait for me by the door, Mr. Payne, while I fetch my daybook.
How do you find America, Mr. Payne?
Oh, it's pretty good, ma'am. Though not so perfect, it could not stand changing.
But what do we have if we have not trade with England? I insure shipping, for God's sake.
Blowed if I'll dance to that whistle.
Where's he gone? Damn the man.
Perfect for drawing, perfect for pulling, perfect for breeding, too. Study the loin, study the groin. I'll take 50, I'll take 55. This one will give you pickaninnies for a new dawn. Speaks English, too.
Dear sir, in answer to your notice in the Examiner, I enclose three articles recently penned.
Another glass, is it, sir?
Yeah, if you will. Wait, though. No, better not. Aren't you Mrs. Downey's boy?
I hired out. Is that writing?
Uh-huh. Do you read? Would you like to? What do they call you?
Will.
Well.
Mr. Aitken? Mr. Aitken? Thomas Paine. You asked me to call.
Are you Paine?
I am.
Wait. Come in. Thought you might be a pleasure. This part's plagued by the buggers. The country's going to pot. You could spend a week in these parts and never find an honest man. Come through. Aye, these are no bad. Might even take one. I pay 3 and 6 pence apiece. I don't bargain, that do you?
Aye. Which one do you want?
Might, I said. I've not decided. I'll let you know. You've recently arrived.
Aye.
Word is you're an awkward beggar. Set a flea in old Batch's ear, they say. Are you in work?
Not yet.
Mm-hmm. What trade have you?
My trade don't interest me.
Oh, what does?
This.
Oh, put it out of your head, man. There's no living in letters. I can't take more than one of these. I shall need to keep the others by me a while longer, see how things go.
Uh-huh. You're looking for an assistant, aren't you? I saw the notice in the window. You found one yet?
Had a couple of inquiries. Why?
I might be interested. What does it pay?
£20 a year, and that's more than it's worth.
And who is it edits the new magazine?
I do. Hey, hold the holly there.
Which is why you need more help in the store, would I be right?
Wait on, mister. But
there's not enough work in the store, which is why you're only prepared to pay scratchings.
Hey, scratchings? You listen to me a moment.
The right man could do them both and still have time for a nap in the afternoon.
The right man being one Thomas Paine, I presume.
It's possible. I'd need to think on it.
Oh, you would.
How many do you sell?
Upwards of 600, why?
If I couldn't double that by the spring, Mr. Aitken, I wouldn't deserve the £50 I'd be asking.
50?
Of course. I'd ask for a free hand as well.
50?
Well, 50-ish. And the living quarters above the print shop, I imagine they'll come free, will they? But, I'll need to think on it. I'm much obliged for your time, sir.
Mr. Payne, it comes to me upon reasonable authority that you're a staymaker from Norfolk with scarce a word published, with not a jot of pertinent experience, and as far as writing goes, not a tittle of training. Am I right?
Mr. Aitken, I come to you newborn, much as I came into the world, into which I dropped, need I remind you, lacking all experience in eating and wholly untrained to breathe, and somehow managed. Your servant, sir. Steady with the globe, Will. It's come a long way.
Yes, sir. So, Aitken's print shop, if anyone should ask, is it?
It is indeed, Mrs. Downey, and thank you.
Oh, go well, Mr. Payne. Send the boy back when he's done.
I will, Mrs. Downey. You ready, Will?
Yes, sir.
With me. Push. There.
To Americans, that some desperate wretches should be willing to steal and enslave men by violence and murder for gain is rather lamentable than strange. But that many civilized, nay, Christianized people should approve and be concerned in the savage practice is surprising. Our traders in men must know the wickedness of that slave trade if they attend to reasoning or the dictates of their own hearts. And such as shun and stifle all these willfully sacrifice conscience and the character of integrity to that golden idol.
Put the globe down there, Will. That's it. Good. Here, these are for you.
Are they real?
Go home and see you learn the letters I wrote out for you.
A, B, C, D.
Go on, get.
If the slavery of the parents be unjust, much more is their children's. Children are born free, for this is the natural, perfect right of all mankind.
Better take a look, Mr. Payne.
Oh, thanks, Joseph. Is Mr. Aitken in?
Ah, you found your piece. I thought that'd surprise you. Something wrong?
This isn't what I wrote.
My friend Dr. Rush made a number of improvements. He's our authority on slavery hereabouts.
Oh, I see. And was it your friend Dr. Rush suggested my name might be improved by the addition of a final E?
What? Let me look.
Here.
Ah, these blasted printers.
Well, no matter, Joseph. New life, new name, eh? It's not a problem. But what I write is... You have a pencil? Here.
Put it right now, have we, Mr. Payne?
There. African Slavery in America by Thomas Paine. It'll do, Joseph.
Mr. Payne?
Aye.
Mr. Payne, my name's Rittenhouse. A pleasure, sir.
I do.
I very much admire the new direction you've given the Pennsylvania magazine.
Thank you.
A group of friends gather Fridays at my house for open discussion. You'd be most welcome, sir.
Sorry, Rittenhouse, you said? David Rittenhouse? Yeah. You built your own telescopes and followed the transit of Venus back in 69, am I right? I read your report. I'd be honored, sir.
Seventh and Mulberry.
Your visitor's arrived, Mr. Payne.
Oh, thank you, Joseph.
In the office. Oh, Mr. Aitken's back from New York. Went home. Bad head.
Enjoy spring fair.
I will, Mr. Payne.
Mr. Oldenburg.
Mr. Payne, is it Martha Oldenburg? I used my maiden name. I hoped it would sound more interesting. Thank you for asking me to come.
Forgive me, I'd expected a man. Oh, please, sit down. More interesting than what, Mrs.
Daly? I married an Irishman. Swamp fever took him last summer.
Oh, forgive me, I'd not...
Please, it happened. It can be spoken of.
I'll take the article. Huh? One, it's quite good. Two...
Is it?
Yeah, the English need some helping, but yes. Two, it's the first work we've had from a woman. Three, it'll be our first piece about women.
I see.
That's 4 shillings. There, count it.
No, I do not look for charity, Mr.
No, sure, you find it, Mrs. Daly. Have you written other pieces?
No. I don't know why I wrote that. I've kept a daybook since I was 12, the year I came here.
I'd like to read it.
No. No, it's a personal thing.
I've made a note or two. Will we work on it?
Now, you mean?
If you care to.
I left my daughter with a neighbor. She's Donavetta. Thunder scares her.
Then you must go at once. Another time. Well, let me know when you're free to set to, Mrs. Daly. Bring your daughter with you, if you like. She can help at the counter.
She's 5, Mr. Payne.
She can stand on a box. What's going on?
They call the people to assembly in the State House yard. I think there must be a danger.
Up here, boy.
Fun news, Captain, you know.
I know. But those buggers up on the balcony there are so scared, they're bumping into each other, so it ain't going to be good. For God's sake, let's hear it. We are gathered.
Summoned here a new fetch letter from the Congress of Massachusetts on recent happenings in that beleaguered and most misfortunate colony. Our friend here have wrote 4 days and nights fetching it. I ask you to listen with your customary calm and fortitude, secure in the knowledge that we ourselves face no present danger nor threat of one by these events. Mr. State President Dickinson.
That's our state president, Halfway Dickinson. He's worried this ain't being managed proper. He don't want them rebel Massachusetts people talking straight out to Pennsylvania folk. We might just get the big idea.
What? You mean independence?
Keep it down, friend. It's a word you gotta whisper just now, unless you want your neck stretching. But it's coming, friend. It's a-coming.
Friends, let us first welcome President John Dickinson, who has an opinion to set before you on behalf of Council.
Very well, Mr. Revere.
From the Council, Congress, and people of the colony of Massachusetts, to all Americans, we send hard news. Last Monday, April 19th, in the forenoon, at the town of Lexington, a body of some 600 British regulars sent out under orders to disarm the people, being met on the common by a small band of townsfolk determined to defend their honor and upon the command of their officers, deliberately take aim and fire upon that defenseless muster, leaving 8 dead and many more wounded. What happened next? How townships were pillaged, old men, women, children dragged onto the streets and publicly violated. Houses burned and several hundred Americans attacked and mutilated. We must needs leave for a later occasion in the hope that a few grains of truth may fill a whole barn with justice.
Justice!
Is it done?
Shush!
Fellow Americans, we ask these questions. If this be not tyranny, how shall we name it?
It is tyranny! It is tyranny!
And if this be not war, how shall it be called?
It is war! War!
Fellow Americans, the crisis has come. The time to rise is upon us. And the fate, not of a colony, but of a continent, hangs on your answer. Signed, John Hancock, President. Sam Adams, John Adams, Executive Members. Made up a rough list of the dead and wounded.
I got a boy down there, town of Quincy, William Manning.
Me too, George Parsons.
Jack, Painter, Nate, did I just say? Lars Lansom.
How many wounded?
How many?
It'd be simpler if I just read them out.
Calm yourselves, fellow citizens. I call now. Yes.
Let their names be heard. Let their names be heard. Shame on your hands. We're all family here. Not a man murdered, but we lose a brother.
John Dickinson.
Why are you out there, Americans? Or Sam Dickinson. Not the
John Dickinson to the
floor. Keep us in our place.
President John Dickinson has the floor.
Friends, the agitator there who seeks to disturb our solemn meeting is, of course, Timothy Hothead Matlack, so-called captain of the so-called Pennsylvania Militia. The name speaks for itself.
All ends against the middle, is it, Mr. Halfway Bloody Dickinson? The game's up, man! You'll see soon enough! Let's go, brave boy!
And justice through negotiated settlement with our British cousins. And no bully may deflect us from our chosen path. Fellow Pennsylvanians, like many here, I'm but a simple farmer. But I do know that he who made us will always heed the call of a troubled soul. I ask the Reverend William Smith, provost of our great college here, to lead us in a final prayer.
Let us pray, O Lord.
Jag kom precis från Lancaster för att åka till marknaden.
In English, if you please, sir.
My papa say he come from Lancaster for spring fair. He want to know why we not hear more about these murderings.
Well, I don't believe we have dealt with them. Tell him.
Försvarade sig våra mannar, eller gav dem bara upp?
He's saying, did our people give back fire or just stand for shooting?
Yeah, we returned fire, all right.
Ja, de försvarade sig.
Och hur många fick vi?
My papa say, how many we get?
Well, we think about 270 redcoats killed and a lot more hit.
My papa thanks you, mister. Says he don't like no one shot. And he ain't no scholar, but he reckon if the British have a couple more victories like this one, we'll have them on their knees begging for peace by Christmas.
Thank you.
Within weeks, a new Continental Congress representing all 13 colonies had been voted and summoned to Philadelphia to confront the crisis. America would need to learn how to speak with one voice, think with one mind, act with one will, and defend ourselves with one army. Put another way, we must all hang together, or we would most assuredly hang separately.
Thomas Jefferson, Arthur Lee, Virginia. Sam and John Adams, Massachusetts. Gouverneur Morris, John Jay, New York.
Whoever considers the unprincipled enemy we have to cope with will not hesitate to declare that nothing but arms or miracles can reduce them to reason or moderation, for they have lost sight of the limits of humanity.
On the sorrel horse, Colonel Washington, Virginia.
Could the peaceable principles of the Quakers be universally established, arms and the art of war would be wholly extirpated. But we live not in a world of angels. I am thus far a Quaker that I would gladly agree with all the world to lay aside the use of arms and settle matters by negotiation. But unless the whole will, the matter ends. And I take up my musket, and thank heaven he has put it in my power.
All done, is it, Mr. Payne? Will I take it?
There. Aitkins asked to see it. It's jumpy. What about Sarah? She'll be due soon, right?
She's in no hurry. Not with the war brewing. Mr. Rittenhouse dropped by. I left you a note. It's on the counter there. There's a meeting called.
Oh, thanks, Joseph. Will you be there?
I might.
Yes?
Thomas Paine, ma'am.
Does Mr. Rittenhouse expect you?
I have his note.
Aye. You're welcome, Thomas Paine, but I warn you, we have a grand speaker from up north in tonight, so it's a crush.
So, here it is. The Gospel according to Sam Adams. Boston's an occupied city under martial law. Our parliament summarily suspended. Our courts shut down. Our commonwealth ruled by the diktat of an English lord with 30,000 soldiers and 80 cannon to make his point. Put there by a London parliament to protect the gold mine we have become for them. The British are waging a war on America already. After us, it'll be New York. After New York, Philadelphia. A mouthful at a time, colony after colony, just how they like us. It seems to me we have but two choices, friends. We can surrender to this tyranny, wait in line for our turn to come, or we can resist. But if we choose resistance, we must all choose it. 13 clocks striking at once, one continental entity, one army, one command, one purpose, all together. Now here's the rub. Virginia and Massachusetts have tabled a motion calling for all colonial militias to be engrossed into a new continental army. 9 of the 13 delegations are behind us. The rest are halfway housing, waiting on Pennsylvania to get off the fence.
You leave it to us, Mr. Adams. We'll get the people out. They're ready, all right. Yeah. Yeah.
Does my soul good to hear it, Captain Matlack. And in return, I make you a solemn promise. You boys deliver Pennsylvania for unity. We'll have the grandest and fairest revolution that there ever was.
Yeah. This is your doing, David. It's perfect.
A model of the universe. With its Mars 2 degrees out of alignment is hardly perfect, Thomas. What kept you? Asked you here months back.
Guess I was finding my way.
So, ready to take a part, are you?
Depends what you got in mind. Ain't much of a speaker.
Sam Adams reckons the next step's for someone to sit down and tell Americans what's at stake here. I told him he should look no further. He agreed.
Sam Adams? He wouldn't know me from a hole in the road. How would he know?
Ain't a piece printed here Sam Adams don't read. He'd know, all right. You spoken with Mr. Franklin yet?
Franklin? Well, you mean Mr. Franklin's part of this? Is it party to it?
Ask him.
So, what can I do for you, friend?
What's that?
It's £30. The loan you made me for the passage out.
No interest?
No.
What else?
You managed to read any of my pieces, Mr. Franklin?
A couple, aye.
Any good?
Well, they won't be troubling Shakespeare, but they'll do. Why do you ask?
Well, there's people pressing me to write something, a pamphlet, a book, substantial anyway. Give up what I'm doing and work for the, well, the cause, I guess.
The cause being our liberties. So, what's the rub? It don't appeal?
Oh, it appeals fine. Guess I'm vain as the next man. I'm not sure I'm up to the task.
Because you're not Shakespeare?
No, I can handle that, because I can't write to order. What I write's got to come out of me. Not a committee. I can't be writing to instruction.
Oh, there. So, that's what you think these folks are looking for? A tame critter with a pen for hire?
No, I ain't saying that.
And if they were, why in the maker's name would they come to you? Orneriest cuss I ever met. I don't know who these folk are. Don't want to. But if you'd like my twopenny oath, they came to you because you write well in a language common folk understand, or because you're the only man of talent hereabouts who's ready to put the truth before his own neck. In a word, they trust ye, as I do, to wit.
Sir,
ask no questions about this. I've never seen it in my life. Secret Crown papers inside detail some fairly gruesome contingency schemes for dealing with these colonies should we look to disburden ourselves of British rule. Take 'em, use 'em, or no. It's all one. You'll do what you do, and it'll do. And you better have the £30 back. Might come in handy for expenses should you find yourself struggling with an oeuvre. You can bring it back another time, with interest.
Oh,
find your own way, will you?
Aye. You pulled my article.
I did, Mr. Ping. There's a price to pay for publishing treason. Your neck's your own affair, but I'm quite attached to mine.
And the public interest counts for nothing?
Oh, good God, man, use your common sense. Thoughts on a defensive war, offering moral and political argument in favour of war against the king. It's not only treasonous, it's lunatic. You think for 1 minute the folk out there share your crackwit vision of the future? New world? America? When common sense tells them there's no future at all in a handful of farmers taking on the military might of the most powerful nation on the planet. Print this, they take my license. My liberty, maybe. If it's the public interest or my neck, I reckon I know where I stand. We go with the new piece.
You had the gall to drop my piece for this horseshit. I've seen better writing on painted pisspots. And if them's your standards from now on, you'll be bankrupt before your time to fill one. That's me done. I'll get me geared up by tomorrow.
Off pain, for God's sake, man.
Easy with that globe, Will. The laying of a country desolate with fire and sword and declaring war against the natural rights of all mankind is the concern of every man to whom nature hath given the power of feeling.
Nice
nice horse.
That's General Washington, Will. Came here a colonel. Wouldn't think so by the face of him, but he just got himself an army.
The cause of America is in great measure the cause of all mankind.
Here we are. Walnut. Second house. Is your father here?
No.
What about your mama?
Wait here.
Many circumstances hath and will arise which are not local, but universal, and through which the principles of all lovers of mankind are affected.
Mama says if it's the room, it's $2.50 a week. Washing and eating's extra. She's making bread. What's that?
It's the world.
Why is it round like that?
Same reason a wheel's round. Or your spinning top. World's made for turning. See that? That's Africa.
A for Africa, see?
Mrs. Daly.
Mr. Payne. Forgive me. I thought it was the room.
It is. I saw the notice. I did not know.
I think it will be too small for your needs.
Will I look? Oh, it's perfect.
What's the boy?
Oh, he's a friend. He stays in town.
How long will you want it?
Can't say. I'd hoped you would call again.
I've been occupied. Making this ready for rent. Lottie and me sleep across the landing there. There's a sitting room below. We eat at 7.
Good?
It's good.
Good.
Remember where I am?
Walnut.
Take the globe. I'll come back next week. We'll see what you know.
Will you say grace, Mr. Payne?
We are glad to have this good food for our bellies when so many on this earth stay empty.
Amen.
Amen. Lord.
Mmm. Mmm.
Plain talk. Plain truth. True talk.
Mr. Payne!
I'm busy, Lottie.
You're always busy.
Lottie! Fight for your bed!
But Mama!
Lottie, bed! Go!
Oh, see you tomorrow.
Plain talk, plain truth. True talk, plain sense, common sense. Common sense on independence. Common sense on independence. 'Tis not the affair of a city, a country, a province, or a kingdom, but of a continent, of at least 1/8 part of the habitable globe. 'Tis not the concern of a day, a year, or an age. Posterity are virtually involved in the contest and will be more or less affected even to the end of time by the proceedings now. Small islands not capable of protecting themselves are the proper objects for government to take under their care. But there is something absurd in supposing a continent to be perpetually governed by an island.
No, Mrs. Daly.
Yes, Mr. Payne. I will not be responsible for a lodger dead of starving in my house. Especially one who daily more resembles an Old Testament prophet.
Good. Leave it.
To the evil of monarchy, we have added that of hereditary succession. A French bastard, landing with an armed banditti in 1066 and establishing himself King of England against the consent of the natives, is, in plain terms, a very paltry, rascally original. It certainly hath no divinity in it.
Now I saw that the road up which Christian was to go was fenced on either side with a wall, and that wall was called
saliva.
Salvation, child.
God damn.
Kennst du nur? Sag sowas nicht.
Every spot of the old world is overrun with oppression. Freedom hath been hunted around the globe. Asia and Africa have long expelled her. Europe regards her like a stranger, and England hath given her warning to depart. O ye that love mankind, receive the fugitive, and prepare in time an asylum for mankind.
Will you take something, Mr. Payne?
No, thank you. A question.
What question?
Well, I'm almost done up there. Would you sooner I leave your house, then?
Why? You feel unwelcome here?
I feel I set some unease in you. Some discomfiture. From the first day in the store and ever since, something there is in me gives you...
It is not in you, Mr. Payne. It is in me.
Wake up, Mr. Payne, wake up!
What? Oh, Lottie?
There's a gentleman come to see you.
Oh. Mr. Rittenhouse.
Mr. Payne? Or is it Methuselah?
I swore I'd not shave till I finished.
And is it done?
About. Well, you found me a printer?
Philadelphia appears right out of Patriot Printers just now. But Tim Matlack thinks he may have a man. Wants you to meet him right away.
What, right now?
Yeah, I believe so. You seen the packet? The king has proclaimed on us. We are a rebellion. It's official.
Well, where'll he be, Matlack?
Dog Inn, Ray Street. You know Ray Street?
Uh-huh.
Take a stick, otherwise... Nah, you'll do fine. Tom.
Hmm?
Will I read it?
Well, it'll have to be here. I ain't got but the one copy.
I have time.
Hope you'd say that. I'll fetch it.
Name's Bell, not long here. Has a shop in Southwark. Won't risk you being seen there. That's him there with a scarf. He's running the cockfight. Claims he's a patriot. I reckon he just needs the business. But believe it, we ain't exactly spoiled for choice.
Mr. Bell, my friend here tells me you might help us.
Sorry, will you?
No.
I need to show it to a lawyer.
No, no, you show it to no one.
You think the British have run out of rope, is it? But I'm a patriot every inch. And it costs them 50%, that's my deal.
Draw up your contract, but heed this. You show it to no one, you change not a word.
Yes! 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 I want to sell it. Where's that bloody whore?
Is he gone?
He has.
Did he read it?
He did.
What did he say?
He said you should lay low till it be published, and on no account put your own name to it.
Is that all?
He left you a note. It's in your room.
Do you see my crown, Mr. Payne?
Hi. Who are you being today?
The Queen of England.
Oh, best make the most of it, girl.
Tom, for what it's worth, the last time I felt like this, I had just finished reading Newton's Optics. It will do, friend. And if it don't, we will not deserve a future. D.R.
Newton's Optics, eh?
He likes it?
He does. He does. Thank you.
Mr. Payne kissed my mama.
Shush yourself, Maitland.
Tannenbaum, oh, Tannenbaum, wie können deine Blätter. Goodbye, Beard. I'll miss you.
We go now.
Go where?
There's victuals in the pantry, and Mrs. Alberts will look to your loaves. We go to my husband's people at year's end, Mr. Payne. I told you a week back. Had you forgotten?
You said it was just a girl.
I'll take supper there. If it grows late in dirty weather, I'll stay over. Get your bag, Lottie, and say goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Payne.
Goodbye, Lottie.
What is it?
Nothing.
If it's fear for your manuscript in the hands of the printer weighs you down.
It isn't. Must you go?
I cannot help that I am reared for righteousness, Mr. Payne.
You married a Catholic, Mrs. Daly.
And I'm still barred from prayer meeting 2 years after his death for my sins.
Oh, love is sin.
Mama!
Here, Lipchin. For you. New Year's present.
Oh, wait. Yours.
Thank you.
May this, my fair copy of your great work, Common Sense and Independence, be of some small value, and may 1776 be the future you write for. In friendship, Martha. Damn. 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 Damn.
Hey! Come on, boy, up you get!
Wait!
Come on, we gotta get going, boy!
What is it?
Our printer friend just stepped out of his wig. He told Rittenhouse he means to have changes this night to what you writ or he don't print. I got the brewery card.
Oh, damn the man. What's his problem?
He'd have read your damn scribble. That'd be his problem. And it's turned his cards to custard, serious. There's treason writ on every page, he says. You best wrap up. It's colder than a witch's tent.
Hey.
You came back.
Aye. You were snoring.
Stewed.
Your necklet... It's...
Indians made it. Looks well.
Do it. I never wore such a thing.
This copy of the book you made me. I have no words for it.
Leave it here.
No. It goes with me. An hour. No more. If you would sleep.
Go. Do your business.
Aye.
Present! Arms!
Count on me, brothers. Be ready by week's end. Have no fear.
Glad to hear it, Mr. Bell. And my friends here will stay on guard until it is. By God, he lie like the devil, Tom Payne. Where'd you get all that fancy patter from?
It wasn't the patter one in tin. It was the promise of a bigger slice of the pie. My God. Is that Joseph? I didn't recognize you in the uniform.
Mr. Payne, been a coach floating about all evening, sir. Take care on your way home.
I will, Joseph.
A toast, gentlemen. 1776.
1776!
Drays have been smelling mare since we set off. Must be one of them fancy buggers.
All right, it'll do here, Tim. Ooh.
What do you got there? You're holding it closer than a Bible.
It's a fair copy of my book, a New Year's present.
Well, take care. Gotta get these Dobbins back to the brewery. Yeah.
Night.
Mr. Payne, is it?
Who asks?
John Anderson, your servant, sir. I'm given to understand you've been scribbling treason against the crown.
Aye?
Be so good as to hand me the manuscript, sir, and we'll let the matter rest.
You spy for the crown, is that it?
Take it, gentlemen.
What? Oh, no, no!
Bye-bye, Mr. Thomas, traitor.
Oh, and bye-bye, idiot! Treasonous book, too!
Stewed again, is it, Mr. Payne? May I shall open in my time.
Martha!
Oh, my God!
The bones will mend, Mrs. Daly. But the cold's brought up an old fever in him. We'll have to watch. Feed him, if you'll take it. Keep him warm. Good night.
Oh, God, cold, cold. Oh, Mama.
Oh, God.
Oh. Oh. They took the fair copy of the book.
Oh. Shh. Come. Oh. Come. Oh. Come to me.
Oh.
Shh. Oh. It's all.
Thomas Payne.
One moment, sir.
Mr. Payne, this is indeed an honor, sir. Thomas Jefferson.
Aye. How do?
Please. Thank you for coming in. Common Sense on Independence. It is a remarkable work, sir.
Aye. It's not bad.
George Washington has commended it to all his staff. Sam Adams is handing out free copies across Massachusetts. Ben Franklin believes it to be a work of genius, and is probably even now reading it aloud to the King of France. Says it's made this fight for independence possible. Recruits are flocking in. I hear not even the Bible sells as well, is it right?
Well, there's talk of 150,000 by year's end.
And how does it feel to wake up one morning a man of fortune?
Best ask the publisher. I signed my share to Congress for the war. So you know Mr. Franklin?
Not well, but enough to love him, I believe. May I speak in confidence, Mr. Payne? 2 days ago, in secret session, Congress moved to set up a small committee to examine and report back upon one of your book's key proposals.
Go on.
I now head that committee. Charged to draw up a declaration, I believe you call it, of our independence.
Oh, boy.
It occurred to me, since you've been so active in promoting the notion, you might be willing, informally of course, to lend a hand with the draft that will inscribe it.
How long do we have to get it written?
A week, not more.
Oh, sounds about right. For a declaration of independence, I can give you a week. There's one thing I'd say, Mr. Jefferson. No declaration will be worth the ink and paper that does not rid these shores of slavery forever.
I know it, Mr. Payne, though. Whether my colleagues will be persuaded.
They'd better, sir. Or it'll come back to burn them.
As I speak, 10,000 hired Hessian soldiers are landed in Boston, ready to do their worst.
General Washington is calling for a flying picket of short-term militiamen to fight them.
6 months is all he asks. You'll be home by Christmas, friends. Wait! Who's that at the back there? Mr. Thomas Payne, no less. Old Common Sense himself. come to review the troops.
Or maybe join them.
See it! You will be killing people from my homeland!
If they fight for the British, they must take what's coming.
Do what you will. Perhaps it's right you go. Perhaps it's wrong you stay.
60 days is all.
Go. 'Tis settled.
Love, I helped start this thing, this chance to change the world. Can I now preen myself while others...
Die. Say it.
I cannot call up war from a chair and let some other poor bugger fight it, Martha. And I ain't gonna die, it's a promise. What?
I'll hear no more promises, Mr. Payne. Take your life. Do with it what you will. It is not my affair. The good Lord spoke at year's end. I shut my ears on him and took your battered body to my bed. God will not bless this godless union. There's an end on't. My world is old. You have no place in it.
And if I love you?
Hold me. Oh, God, just hold me.
When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bonds that have connected them with another,
a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation.
By the time Payne had reached New York to take up his duties with the Continental Army, the rebel Americans had crumpled under the weight of British arms in Massachusetts and were now being bloodily dispatched from a New York City put to the torch.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights.
Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Long Island, Fort Washington, Fort Lee. The list of battles fought and lost grew longer as the army, Payne in their midst, retreated south, and General Winter began to take a hand. By late December of 76, written off, half naked, half starved, Washington's shriveling ragtag army came to rest on the Pennsylvania shore of the Delaware and waited to be put out of its misery.
Come on, you caulkers! We need them flatboats now!
On your feet, lads! It's the general!
Oblige me, sir. You take my light. Oh, excuse me, General Washington. Sun in my eyes. I couldn't see you there.
May I join you, sir?
You take a mug of coffee, will you?
I will indeed.
Here.
Forgive me, Mr. Payne. I'd have called on you sooner. I had not realized you were with us.
Since New York, sir, and all the way down New Jersey, but I guess you've had plenty on your plate.
Old common sense, eh?
Ain't so old.
Catch a ball. That'll be as old as you're gonna get. You working something up for us, eh?
I'm trying.
What do you call it?
The American crisis.
Sounds about right. You gonna say we can win?
No, no. Gonna say we will win.
Well, let's see. Over there, on the New Jersey side of the river, we have 12,000 German mercenaries pinning us down. Behind them, another 30,000 British regulars. The best drilled, the best equipped, the best led army this world's ever seen. Upriver, I have two generals conducting a private war over who's gonna wear my boots. Heading two armies, they make damn sure I won't see eye nor hair of. Downriver, a terrified populace screaming I should defend Philadelphia, and a horrified Congress already upped and off to Baltimore. Behind, 5,000 sick and wounded, 1,000 fighting regulars, and 4,000 green militia scheduled to terminate a year's end and already dreaming of home. I send the games pretty near up, Mr. Payne. Figure there's but one more hand to play. And if we're gonna win, I'm gonna need some decent cards.
Well, word is you're cooking something. Watched a weasel run before a hound once till the mutt dropped from exhaustion. Weasel turned, trotted back, bit the mutt's cards off like he'd planned it all along. I'll have this writ pressed and back from Philadelphia inside a week if it's of help. Hate to miss the boat, though.
5 days is all I can offer, Mr. Payne. Won't be no use after Christmas Eve. My boys surely could do with some cheering, though. Will I send you down a desk?
No, no. This drum will do. 5 days it is, General.
Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph.
And 5 days later, as promised, Payne stood in Washington's command tent, having ridden 16 miles through a blizzard with a pamphlet in his rucksack, waiting for Washington to finish reading it.
Gentlemen, the General.
Mr. Payne.
Will it do, General?
It will do, sir. Gentlemen, I want the men paraded 1 hour before we cross the river, and Mr. Payne's crisis read to them, so that they may more fully understand why we come to be spending this Christmas night in battle against those who would deny us our liberty. Mr. Monroe, show Mr. Payne to a pallet. He is exhausted. Colonel Knox, show me a map of Trenton.
Sir.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country.
But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman.
8 miles away, the good people of Trenton, garrisoned to 3,000 by now drunken Hessian mercenaries, for it was Christmas, slept easy in their beds, unaware that their little town was soon to be indelibly drawn on the map of American freedom. Colonel Henry Knox, artillery officer and Boston bookseller, was surprised to find himself sharing a boat with his commanding officer, General Washington. The first he knew of it was when he felt the general's boot in his backside and heard him whisper, "Shift that fat horse, Harry, but slowly or you'll swamp the damn boat, and I don't fancy swimming with icebergs."
It's surprising to see how rapidly a panic will sometimes run through a country.
Yet panics in some cases have their uses. They produce as much good as hurt.
On the New Jersey shore, half the men under General Sullivan headed for the northern road. Washington took the rest by the southern route. Two enemy lookout posts fell silently to knives and bayonets, and as dawn rose, the road to Trenton was clear and battle was nigh.
I call not upon a few, but upon all. Not on this state or that state, but on every state.
Fire cannon! Forward, halt!
And help us. Lay your shoulders to the wheel. Let it be told to the future world that in the depth of winter, when nothing but hope and virtue could survive, the city and the country, alarmed at the common danger, came forth to meet and to repulse it. It matters not where you live or what rank of life you hold. The evil or the blessing will reach you all. The far and the near, the home counties and the back, the rich and the poor will suffer or rejoice alike.
We lost a brave handful. The Germans lost 23 officers and men killed, 1,000 prisoners taken. The battle lasted 90 minutes and changed the world.
My greatcoat's gone. I'll be damned. Robbed in the Church of God. That's rich.
Here, take mine. I have another.
Oh, nay. It'll never fit.
It'll fit. Congress turned down my plans to take you on as my press officer. They have other ideas for Tom Paine. A treaty conference with the Indians over at Easton. And something in the Capitol. If you're agreeable.
Secretary to the Committee for Foreign Affairs. Carries 100 a year, how's that sound? You did good work, Mr. Paine. Army recruitment up 50% since your crisis paper. I can hold it for a week. Let me know.
Wouldn't stop me writing on the wall, would it?
Write what you want, friend. It's sort of the idea.
Mr. Jefferson.
Did you speak with Sam Adams?
Aye.
Did you say yes?
Not quite. I have the feeling somebody might be trying to use me.
What, here in Congress? I'm amazed. If you take it, you've but one task, Mr. Paine. To ensure you let no one muzzle you. This has grown a poor place for seeking the truth in.
Well, I'll see what I can do.
Nice greatcoat. Made you a general, did they?
It's Washington's. I had mine stolen. The Declaration, sir. It's not a word on slavery.
I did what I could, Mr. Paine. They struck it out.
Oh, that's a folly we will all pay for.
Walnut it is, sir.
Thank you. You call at this place for me, will you? If there's a boy there named Will, bring him over.
Yes, sir.
Didn't die.
I prayed you'd live.
Took a while longer than I thought.
Was that your carriage I heard?
Aye. I used Mr. Jefferson's. Is Lottie here?
Out. She's walking.
Did you receive the letters I sent you?
No.
Oh.
I did receive this, though. From England. You'll forgive me for opening it. I saw it was from lawyers and thought it might be a death. Family. Lottie had the seals. She invented a birthday for the African boy. That was his present. You'll not read it?
I can guess what it says. I know the attorneys.
Why did you not tell me?
Martha, what had it to do with us?
May God forgive you, Tom Paine. May God forgive us both. You have a wife and never told me, came to my bed and never told me you were another's. Doubled the sin and damned me. Damned me in God's eyes.
Martha, listen, woman. Her father died a debtor. She needed a husband to retain the business. He was a friend. I said yes. There was no marriage. There was a legal...
Don't want this. In God's eyes,
what eyes? What God? I do not know this God whose eyes never lift above a man's codpiece or a woman's clouts. I do not know this mean-eyed, prying, purient, peeping monster. My God holds the universe in perfect harmony. My God asks justice and truth and love on earth. My God asks only that we be useful, do good, make this
Sty of a world, a place fit for his creation to dwell in. When a man hardens, when a woman softens, what god can it be that scowls and threatens the eternal fire? Not a god at all. A figment dressed by men. And part of the sty, my god would have us clean.
I saw your bags on the step. I knew you're home. God bless you, Mr. Payne. I did lots more drawings.
Oh, I missed you, Liebchen.
This is Mr. Gottschalk, Mr. Payne.
It is a pleasure, sir.
Aye.
Mr. Gottschalk would like to see your drawings, Lottie. Mr. Payne can see them later.
Is there a present for me?
Genug, Lottie.
Come, Liebchen.
Your room is let, Mr. Payne. I believe it best for us all, it is so. God's will be done.
Martha. In a few weeks, Philadelphia may be threatened again. Keep a bag packed. If you need to leave, I'll find you a safe place. If there's aught you lack, I guess I'll be at Ma Downey's. Well, you feeling strong, boy?
Okay.
Okay, what's that?
Mandingo means sure.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
I, Thomas Paine, do solemnly swear and affirm that I shall faithfully discharge the duties of secretary to the aforesaid Committee for Foreign Affairs, and shall disclose no matter arising therefrom which said committee, on behalf of Congress, shall direct me to keep secret. So help me God.
Gentlemen! The motion has been laid. Mr. Payne, if you please.
The Congress be advised by this committee to recall its agent Silas Dean from France to explain bills of lading and shipment vouchers recently charged to the Congress by said agent in the sum of 4.5 million French livres.
Yay-sayers.
Nay.
Nay-sayers.
Nay.
3-3. Chair in favor. Motion carried. Other business, gentlemen. Gouverneur Morris.
I shall fight this. I give warning. This is turned into a witch hunt, not just against Mr. Dean, but against the merchant class itself. Prosecuted by persons unable to distinguish corrupt dealings from honest profit.
Hear, hear. Hearing set for December, gentlemen, to be held in private. Mr. Buck.
Beg pardon, gentlemen. President wants to see y'all right away in the chamber. Words in, the British put down a whole army at Chesapeake Bay.
What are we going to do?
Hey, Mr. Buck, meeting adjourned.
Excuse me.
It's like a spell in the back country for us, Mr. Payne. You'll gather our effects and bring them on, will you?
Aye.
You think this Silas Dean's corrupt?
Well, you've seen the files.
If this gets out, we could see the country split top to bottom.
Chesapeake's no more than a week's march away, Mr. Payne. I'll need your stuff on the cart by Friday.
Could you send the 3 o'clock runner, Mr. Buck? I have a letter.
Yes, sir.
The British will take the city by week's end. Tomorrow, or the day after, I believe, will be the latest time you may leave the city in safety. I enclose a bill to help meet expenses. My warmest greetings to Lotta, and to yourself.
The crisis was far from over. 3 days later, Washington's army was routed at Brandywine Creek, and the city of Philadelphia lay at the mercy of the enemy. By cart and on foot, the patriot part of the city fled into the back country. Payne left, too, for a meeting at the army's winter quarters.
Mr. Payne, is it?
It is.
An honor, sir. Lieutenant Monroe.
Aye. You're at the Delaware. Took a ball in the shoulder at Trenton. Is it recovered?
Perfectly, sir. Thank you.
And will he see me?
He will, sir. I'll ride you in. Almost there, sir. Just over the ridge.
Happy to hear it, son. Feels like the back of beyond. What is it? Are we under fire?
Nay, sir. It's celebration. You haven't heard? The Northern Army took Burgoyne and 6,000 men at Saratoga a couple of days back.
Are you tickling me, mister?
It's fact, sir.
God's honor. Welcome to Valley Forge, sir.
Heroes all. Bless them.
Good night, George. And happy birthday yet again.
Good night, my dear.
Mr. Payne?
Good night, Mom.
You have a wife, Mr. Payne?
No.
Man needs a wife. Those documents on your knee there, are they the corruption affair you come from my thoughts of?
They are indeed, General.
No, put them away. I got enemies enough in Congress without sticking my nose in their private chamber pots. As we speak, there are elements in that esteemed body plotting with my fellow generals to have me removed. Ah, yes. Keep the file shut, sir. I may not be drawn on this matter. My advice to you would be much the same. Who do you think is feeding Lord Howe's army while they ransack our capital city? American farmers, sir. I know it. I do nothing about it. Speculation, peculation, and an insatiable thirst for self-enrichment may well have got the better of every other consideration in many of our countrymen. But you lift your head up to speak at Mr. Payne, you'll catch a musket ball. In the meanwhile, you and me's got a war to win. That's the crisis.
With respect, General, the crisis ain't only the war or the army anymore. The crisis is everywhere and everyone. Why we fight. What world we would put up in place of the one we bury. A nation born in greed and graft and corruption will surely drown in them. Just moving your glass, sir.
Mr. Payne, the Marquis de Lafayette begs leave to make your acquaintance, sir.
Pleased to meet you, mister.
The honor's mine, Mr. Payne. Keep up the writing, sir. Common sense has stirred the hearts of all good Frenchmen. Thousands are on their way to answer the call.
I'm glad to hear it. And when it's over?
We'll take the news back home, sir, and see it's put to use. Adieu, Monsieur Payne.
Oh, my. See you back in Philadelphia, Mr. Payne. We'll have the burgers out come the spring.
You bet.
I have never much cared for the notion of a popular war, and the people of Philadelphia who lined the streets to watch Army and Congress retake the city in the spring of 77 seemed to share my opinion. Washington, who was popular with everyone except his fellow generals and most of Congress, was greeted with a charitable silence. Congress, who seemed to flee every time a musket was fired, were greeted with hisses and derision. Payne skipped the welcome and went straight home.
Ah, Mr. Payne.
Is Will around, Mrs. Downey? I need a hand with my gear.
No, he ain't.
Where is he?
You could try the common. The British took him, just for the left. Caught the poor starving mite with half a loaf in his hands.
Oh, no.
No. Here.
Mister, we'll have him down in a tick for you. Losing him's cost you a few bucks, I'll bet. No better than heathens themselves. A bastard British.
Oh! I got you now, boy. I got you now.
While the poor and middling of this land are in desperation for their daily wants, this corrupt creature Dean will be allowed to skim $250,000 of their taxes on a claim I have proved and Congress knows to be fraudulent.
In there you will find a copy of the oath you swore to keep secret whatsoever this committee shall instruct you to keep secret. You are so instructed.
My dear Jefferson, they have me hog-tied. These strutting grandees of Congress, who turn their backs on the poor and powerless and run this country like a goddamn business. What will I do, Thomas? One way or another, they aim to bury this thing.
House in closed session. Mr. Thomas Paine to the bar, if you please. Mr. Morris has the floor.
Here is a newspaper of December 29th. In it is a piece entitled Common Sense to the Public on Mr. Dean's Affairs. The President is directed by Congress to ask if you are the author.
I am.
Very well. You will be informed of our judgment. You may withdraw.
Judgment? With what am I to be charged?
You may withdraw, Mr. Paine.
Am I to be tried but not heard? Are we now a tyranny again?
You've broken your oath as a servant of this house, and it is as a servant that you shall be treated. I will not be lectured to on democracy by a mere adventurer from England. Without fortune, without family or connections, and, as far as I can make out, without grammar.
Shame on you, sir!
You will leave this chamber at once, Mr. Paine, or I will ask the sergeant to throw you out.
Mr. Morris, you disgrace all here, sir!
I'm a man of peace, mister, but I shall leave this chamber on my own 2 feet and only when I am done. An agent of this Congress asks a fortune and commission on a transaction which he claims to have been a loan, but which all in this house know to have been a gift to the American cause from the King of France. This house, for whatever reason, has shown itself ready to lie to the people to cover the fraud. Gentlemen, there are some of us who set out in 76 to found the best place on earth, the first great, good, just nation. Now this house, it would seem, has turned its back on that ideal, preferring but another private corporation to promote the interests of the already rich and powerful. I cannot offer allegiance to such a house and such a paltry notion. The package I have laid on the bar contains my resignation, sir.
This house will decide how your contract will be terminated, Mr. Paine.
This house may do what it will, sir. I no longer serve it.
Goodbye, Will. Wherever you are, may you be happy.
Will... Oakey. Is that his name?
It'll do.
What now then, Tom?
I don't know, David. Feels like the end of something.
We won a war, Mr. Paine.
We did indeed, Mr. Washington.
Here, here.
I would not want Congress or the people to forget the debt we owe him.
Passenger list for the London packet, September 1787. Sam Porter. Right. Brendan Crockett.
You should be in bed, Mr. Franklin.
Beds for births and deaths, sir. I'm past both. You go to England now?
Aye.
And you go to France first, yeah?
Aye.
Well, there's a letter there for Lafayette. Make sure you see him. I hear he's grown... important.
I will.
But don't let him get his hands on Washington's greatcoat. He'll have it off you in a blink. And watch out for those damn genders. I've had trouble from genders all my life. I wager I'd still find the French feminine a plague.
Thomas Paine!
Damn you, Tom Paine. You're gonna miss my funeral.
You think we'll let you die? Ben Franklin?
Huh? Thomas Paine?
Aye.
In These Are the Times, A Life of Thomas Paine by Trevor Griffiths, Thomas Paine was played by Jonathan Pryce, Benjamin Franklin, Alan Howard, Thomas Jefferson, Ken Cranham. Philip Jackson played George Washington, Jack Shepherd, Rittenhouse, Kelly Hunter, Martha, Robert Glenister, Matlack and Gouverneur Morris, Paul Jessen, Sam Adams and Paul Revere, Nicholas Rowe, Monroe and Joseph, Hugh Ross, Aitken and the House Speaker, Marcella Reardon, Mrs. Downey, and John McAndrew, Lafayette. Quiadza Correa played Will, and Julia Reinstein, Lottie. Music by John Tams. The play was directed by Clive Brill, produced by Anne Scott, and was a Greenpoint production in association with Richard Attenborough for BBC Radio 4.